Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends, and happy Easter. Yes, I can still say that we're in week 7 of Easter, and it's leading to our celebration this weekend of Pentecost, with the culmination, as we've been talking about over the last few weeks, of Jesus' great mission. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a visible sign in the earth that Jesus Christ, the King, is on the throne, and that he's reigning with all power and authority in heaven and on earth, and the plan of the Father is going forth, and mercy is flowing from the throne, his throne in heaven. Only Jesus has the power to bring human beings what every single one of us desperately needs. We need new life. We need to be brought from death to life. Yes, we have biological life. That clock is ticking as well. But what human beings were born into sin, an original sin, in a fallen condition, in a fallen world. And so, from the throne, Jesus alone has the power to raise people from spiritual death to spiritual life. Remember John, the apostle, in his first letter, he's got 3 letters toward the end of the New Testament. He says, what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have touched, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. This is the core reality of what God brings to the world through his Son Jesus for the salvation of the world through his church. He's not just bringing a moral system. He's not just adding commandments onto, let's say, the 10 commandments or more books. What John is saying, and what absolutely captured them, was the recognition that they saw with their own eyes that Jesus Christ, who they knew was crucified and died and was buried, was alive again. And they understood the signs and the wonders and the preaching and the teaching of Jesus, and then his resurrection appearances confirmed it all, that everything Jesus ever taught, everything he ever said about the kingdom, about the world we live in, about the Father's plan and our destiny, all of it is absolutely true. And at the heart of it, what John is touching on is that Jesus revealed what no one could come to know without the help of the Holy Spirit and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit making it possible for us to see that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a holy Trinity. And John goes on to say, now that they've come to realize that in their union with Jesus and what Jesus is doing in baptism and pouring out his Holy Spirit and creating a spiritual family, one body, united to Christ, we're being called into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're empowered, we're enabled to come into the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which no human being has access to. But that fellowship, that communion, the relationships of love from all eternity is the destiny of the human race. This is what God desires to give. Friends, that's why, again, just to underline, I don't want to be too redundant, but this is why no other religion can get you there. Other religions are not salvific in their content. They might have glimmers of light, glimmers of truth, good things. And the church recognizes those good things. But those good things, that wisdom, ways of praying, good understanding about how to live well in different ways, though they're good things, they're not enough. We don't need just good guidance. We need new life. We need to become born again. It can't really be said enough. And so many of the baptized brothers and sisters don't even realize this. Christianity often gets reduced to a moral system. And what we're seeing this whole week, this whole from the whole story of our Lord, obviously, but the Holy Spirit leading Jesus through his passion, death, resurrection, and his ascension into glory, and then now the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the culmination of Jesus's mission. He didn't come to just take away something and to destroy some things. He took away sin. He destroyed the power of the world of flesh and the devil over human flesh, over human beings who enter into the life of Jesus. He destroyed those things, but then he gave us new life that can begin here. And the saints are those living pictures of what's possible when human beings take all of this seriously. And we don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. We don't try to live in the twilight because, you know, the temptation is always there. Like, yeah, these things sound great, but I don't want to get too serious about it. It might make me look like a fanatic or it'll ruin my weekend or it's just going to takes all the fun out of life and all the rest. That's a kind of blindness, of course, but we're still in control. We haven't really heard the gospel. We haven't fully repented. That is really, repentance means turning our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength toward Jesus and accepting Jesus's diagnosis of our condition, the sin-sick condition of our hearts and our need for salvation, our need for forgiveness. It's really, really so critical. And so it's very important for us in this particular time of the year, this beautiful part of the church year where we see and we take more than just one day to meditate on the saving works of Jesus and what they mean, the saving plan of our loving Father, and the role of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in it, and how critical it is for us to see it for as it really is. Too many people still reduce Jesus just to a prophet or to a seer, good spiritual guru, a very kind man, a revolutionary. Some people think of him as Jesus is the eternal Son of God made flesh. He's the only Savior of the world. And all power and authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. And he's ruling a kingdom that will never end. And the kingdoms of this world, friends, they're fading. They're dying. And between all these amazing, all these wonderful realities that we're meditating on, these mysteries of what the Lord has done, that are building up now to this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what are we seeing? We're seeing the birth of the church. The church is born of the outpouring of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ by his authority and power, coming on human flesh and offering the gift of salvation and entering into his body, the church, through repentance for the forgiveness of sins, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what was communicated by Peter the first night, the first preaching, when they came out of that upper room and the Spirit of God was upon them to come into the new life, the new reality of what Jesus alone has made possible. So that's the beginning of the church, really. I mean, you can tweak it. It's, you know, really began when the blood flowed from the side of Jesus and a whole variety of things also. But literally, when the Holy Spirit came, the apostles went out and they began to evangelize, spread the gospel of the kingdom to bring people into the life of the church, which is the doorway into salvation. But that then, the historical church begins in history as an instrument of salvation, an instrument through which this grace of Jesus, because we're united to Jesus, flows through the sacraments, through the preaching of the church, through the ministry of the church, through signs and wonders, flows in history and lives in history, a living body of men and women who've been made alive by Jesus Christ, and they're offering salvation to the world. They're continuing the mission of Jesus, continuing the mission of the apostles. Our bishops are descendants of the apostles. They lead that charge. Priests are united with them in a unique way to bring about the sacramental life of the church and to lead this charge. But every baptized person who's been animated by the Spirit, who's been brought from death to life, who literally gets it and can say, he died for my sins and I was raised. He was raised for my justification, for my new life, for becoming a new creation, for becoming a child of God and entering into his church. So now the Catechism reminds us, brothers and sisters, that the time between the first coming of Jesus, really, until he comes again, or his resurrection to the right hand of the Father and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the time of the church, where God's mercy is being extended now to the human race. And it's really unfortunate. Many people, even some clergy, live with a kind of presumption that the saving work, the salvation stuff, isn't really needed anymore because people are in different ways connecting with it, in their own religion, in their own heart, whatever. And so the church's work gets reduced to like human development, caring for the needs of physical needs of people, trying to bring peace and not war to the world. All good things, but they're not the thing of most importance. One cardinal described it this way, Cardinal Stafford, I think it was, he said, there's such a thing as the charity of truth and the charity of bread. Charity of bread symbolizes all the ways in which we care for our neighbor, critically important part of what it means to be a Christian. But he said the charity of truth, which is what? Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the truth about everything that human beings need to know for life. He's the truth about the Father. He's the truth about the condition of the human race. He's the truth about the reality of the world of flesh and the devil. He's the truth about the meaning of human history and where it's going. He's the truth about your condition and mine. He is the truth. And the truth precedes and is most important. Maybe they go together, the preaching and the serving at the same time. Yeah, that can happen. But charity of truth is paramount. It's primary. It's singular. What good is it for people to get physically healthy, to live a more peaceful life, if they don't come into the truth about their need for salvation and to be baptized and enter into the life of the church for the salvation of their souls? So what we're seeing with the apostles are coming out in the Acts these weeks. What are they doing? They're going right into the heart of the battle, so to speak. I loved over the last number of weeks, just reading again and imagining being there with Peter when he's at the temple. They healed the man at the temple. He's walking, leaping, and praising God. Stirs up the whole place. And they're like, what happened? How did this happen? Because everybody knew the guy who got healed because they had seen him for so long. And then Peter stands up and begins to preach. The same place where Peter denied knowing Jesus three times because of the trauma, the moment, the fear, and the rest of it. He's a new man. He's alive in the spirit. He's got a new power working in him. And he's telling all his Jewish brothers in the temple, he's telling them, calling them to repent, telling them that Jesus died and rose from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit's on them. And he calls all of those Jewish men and the people present there to repentance. Isn't that amazing what the Holy Spirit can do? That's what happens when we get serious about the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important for us to take a deep dive into these special days of the church year and to live the grace we've been given in baptism and confirmation. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.